Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your Middle School Science Minute. This is the second in a seven-part podcast series on the book Lifelong Kindergarten, written by Mitchell Resnick. In today's podcast, we'll be looking at Chapter 1, Creative Learning. In this chapter, Mitchell talks about how can we prepare young people and help them develop as creative thinkers so that they're prepared for life in this ever-changing world. And he said that's the central question of the book and the question that's motivated his work over the past three decades in the MIT Media Lab. He said that his goal is to bring the Media Lab spirit of creativity and innovation to children around the world so that they can grow up to be creative thinkers. His nomination for the greatest invention of the previous 1,000 years is not the light bulb, is not the steam engine, is not the computer, but it's kindergarten. He said that when Frederick Frabel opened the world's first kindergarten in Germany in 1837, it wasn't simply a school for younger children, it was based on a radically different approach to education, fundamentally different from schools that came before. Before Frabel invented the first kindergarten in 1837, most schools were based on what might be called a broadcast approach to education. That is, the teacher stood in front of the classroom and broadcast information. Well, Frabel knew that this approach wouldn't work for five-year-olds, so he shifted from a broadcast model of education to an interactive model, providing children with opportunities to interact with toys, craft materials, and other physical objects. But Frabel wasn't satisfied with the toys and materials that existed at that time. He set out to create new types of toys designed specifically to support the goals of his new kindergarten. These toys were called Frabel's Gifts. Frabel wanted his kindergarten children to gain a better understanding of the world around them. One of the best ways to do that, he realized, was for children to create models of the world, to recreate the world through their own eyes, with their own hands. That was the ultimate goal of Frabel's Gifts, understanding through recreation. He recognized the connection between recreation and recreation. He understood that kindergarten children are most likely to create and build when they are engaged in playful, imaginative activities. Makers of toys and educational manipulative materials also have been inspired by Frabel's ideas. They include wooden blocks, Lego bricks, pattern blocks, and Tinker Toys. They can all be viewed as descendants of Frabel's Gifts. Frabel's influence can still be felt in many kindergartens around the world, but there's troubling trends. In many kindergartens today, children spend time filling out math worksheets and drilling with phonics flashcards. There's more focus on delivering early literacy instruction and less time for playful exploration. Some people have referred to today's kindergartens as literacy boot camps. In short, he said, kindergarten is becoming like the rest of school. And in this book, he argues for exactly the opposite. He believes the rest of school, including middle school, indeed the rest of life, should become more like kindergarten. He likes to think of the creative process in terms of a creative learning spiral. As kindergarten children play with blocks, build castles, and tell stories, they engage with all aspects of the creative process. They imagine, they create, they play, they share, they reflect, they imagine. The creative learning spiral is the engine of creative thinking. Unfortunately, after kindergarten, most schools shift away from the creative learning spiral. But it doesn't need to be that way. In the graduate program at the MIT Media Lab focused on creative uses of new technologies, they've adopted a kindergarten-like approach. Media Lab graduate students spend very little time in the classroom. Instead, they're constantly working on projects. But the design process is similar in all cases, even though in this case, it's more appropriate and looks different than children in kindergarten. He goes on to say that how can we encourage and support these types of creative learning experiences? Well, in his research at MIT, he's developed a set of four guiding principles for helping young people develop as creative thinkers. Projects, passion, peers, and play. And that's called the four P's of creative learning. With apologies to John Lennon, all we're saying is give peas a chance. He also talks about what is creativity and what isn't. Not everyone agrees on the value and importance of creative thinking in today's society. Part of the problem, there is no consensus on what it means to be creative. He's encountered a number of common misconceptions. Misconception number one, creativity is about artistic expression. He often uses the phrase creative thinking rather than creativity. When parents hear creative thinking, they're less likely to focus on artistic expression and more likely to see it as something essential for their children's future. Misconception number two is that only a small segment of the population is creative. Some people feel that the words creative and creativity should be used only when referring to inventions and ideas that are totally new to the world. In this view, winners of Nobel Prizes are creative, and artists whose works are on display at major museums are creative, but not the rest of us. Researchers who study creativity sometimes refer to this type of creativity as big C creativity. What he's more interested in is what researchers call little C creativity. When you come up with an idea that's useful to you in your everyday life, that's little C creativity. It doesn't matter if thousands or millions of people come up with similar ideas in the past. If the idea is new and useful to you, it's little C creativity. The third misconception is that creativity comes in a flash of insight. Most scientists, inventors, and artists recognize that creativity is actually a long-term process. New ideas and insights might seem like they come in a flash, but they usually happen after many cycles of imagining, creating, playing, sharing, and reflecting. That is, after many iterations through the creative learning spiral. And the fourth misconception is that you can't teach creativity. He also agrees that you can't teach creativity. If teach means giving children a clear set of rules and instructions on how to be creative, but you can nurture creativity. So yes, you can teach creativity so long as you think about teaching as an organic, interactive process. Indeed, that's what the book is all about. Also in this chapter, he talks about the use of technology. There's many pros and cons, and he says the focus shouldn't be on which technologies children are using, but rather what children are doing with them. Some uses of new technologies foster creative thinking, others restrict it. The same is true for older technologies. Rather than trying to choose between high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech, parents and teachers should be searching for activities that will engage children in creative thinking and creative expression. And this has been your Middle School Science Minute.